主的兄弟姊妹平安。
PCL brothers and sisters。
能够姊妹来到主的面头前来三合祈祷。
Once again, let us come before the Lord in prayer。
天父上帝，我求你个姊妹用你的话，用你的圣灵，底下来掏开我的目睭。
Once again, Lord, use your Spirit and your Word to open our eyes。
好，我们明白你的话语。
That we would understand your Word。
好，我们更加明白了你。
That we would all the more know you。
我们祈祷上主耶稣名求。
And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
啊，昨日。在菲律宾的天主教，在我们菲律宾有大事情。
There's a big event yesterday. There was a big event yesterday in Roman Catholicism in the Philippines.
也多人跟着了这个黑的纳西亚的基督。
Many people were following the Black Nazarene.
也多人在规礼拜，无论是电视有咧讲着这样代志。
And no matter it's in the TV or in radio, people were talking about this.
讲着人。
And why is it that the people were following the Black Nazarene? Many of them follow because they have a need. They believe that the Black Nazarene is powerful. So they want to go there and kiss and wipe the image. And not so much that they would offer something to the image, but rather that the image would grant some blessing to them. And this more or less is a picture of the attitude of man towards God. And similarly, we see this in this passage. We also see Nicodemus see Jesus. He also has his needs. But the need that Jesus wants to meet in Nicodemus' life is not what he deems to be his need. At times when we seek the Lord, we carry with him a need that we think is our need. But the actual need that the Lord wants to meet is not the need that we think we have. So when Nicodemus went to see Jesus, Jesus told him, "Truly, truly, I tell you, you must be born again or else you will not see the kingdom of God." And this is a very serious statement. And later we will see how serious this statement is. But this statement is not simply addressed to Nicodemus. It is actually addressed to each of us. The need that Jesus wants to meet is a need that each of us has. What we truly need is new life. But what we consider to be our need is not the same as what Jesus considers to be our true need. Being born again, the new birth, is the need of every person on this earth. It is our ultimate need. This is actually not peripheral or non-essential. And this is so essential. Not having the new birth, not having new life in Christ has something to do with eternity. Without the new birth, it means we are not saved. Without the new birth, it means that we have not received forgiveness. Without the new life, we really do not have life.
So,
if we do not experience the new life, we are under the judgment of God. If we have been born again, if we have received the new life, then we have truly received life from God. There are some teachings of the church that are not really that important.
这个是万万事的重要。
But this is absolutely important.
因为这个是你的灵魂的救恩，还是无得或审判。
This is determines whether your soul is saved or it will fall under judgment.
所以当咱来看这个今仔日的圣经的时阵
，So as we ponder on this passage this morning,
咱来学习了几项的信心的功课。
Let us learn some faith lessons.
头一个
，First,
耶稣关心每一个人的救恩。
Jesus is concerned with the salvation of each person. Jesus is not simply concerned with the salvation of a group or of the crowd. Jesus is concerned with the salvation of each person, you and I. Why do we say this? As we look in John chapter
2,
if you have your Bibles, please open them.
And
if your app, iPad, you can turn on the app.
And
in John chapter 2, we see that Jesus started to perform miracles. The first miracle is when Jesus turned water into wine in Cana. And when Jesus performed this miracle, people considered that as a sign that he is such. And when the disciples saw this, they quickly concluded that he is the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. And there are many things recorded in John chapter
2.
And we said last November that when Jesus performed these miracles, people started to have faith in Jesus. So when people saw these miracles, they started to have faith in Jesus. But at the last part of chapter
2,
there's a very rather disappointing verse. When people started to see the miracles and they started to have faith in Jesus, Jesus did not entrust himself to them. This is in chapter
2.
And we see more or less what Jesus performed was to a crowd. He did not address individuals. Every sign, every miracle he performed was seen by a lot of people. But there's a shift starting from chapter
3.
And in chapter 3, we were introduced to a person named Nicodemus. And he went to see Jesus. And probably this is the effect of chapter
2.
And probably Nicodemus saw the miracles performed by Christ. So he secretly went in front of Christ. And he affirmed who Jesus was. But personally, Jesus addressed Nicodemus's true need. And probably Nicodemus wants just to learn something about Christ. But in their personal time together, he clearly pointed out his true need. This shows that Jesus is not concerned just about the crowd, but rather he is concerned about each of us, our salvation. He did not talk in circles when he addressed Nicodemus. And he directly told Nicodemus, your need is that you need to be born again. And this is the first faith lesson. Jesus is concerned about your salvation. Jesus is concerned about your salvation and my salvation. Do you want to experience the salvation of Christ? Anytime you can approach the throne of grace and receive help and forgiveness. Jesus is not simply concerned about the needs of the whole church, but rather he's concerned about each individual's needs. Last December, we said that he's the shepherd king. And he's taking care of each one. He also takes care of you and me. You know, no king is like our Jesus. And there is also no president who is just like our Lord. If you go to our president, he would not be concerned about your individual needs. Every president is concerned about their national interests. Try to approach them. And just try it out. Approach him and say, you are my president. I have this need. Can you help me? You won't even have a chance to even meet him face to face. But Jesus is concerned about every person's salvation, your salvation and my salvation. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, it says that we can come to him to his throne of grace to receive grace and help in time of need. So the first faith lesson is that Jesus is concerned about each of our needs. And the second faith lesson is that in Christ we have new life and not a new religion. It's very interesting how John would describe Nicodemus. And he said that Nicodemus is a Pharisee. And he is a Jewish leader. He's not just a Pharisee. He is a leader respected by the Jews. I believe that Nicodemus is such a good representative of those who would approach Christ. And it's easier to ask for forgiveness if we were sinners before Christ. But to invite rather good people to believe in Christ is difficult. And they think that, well, I'm good enough, why do I need salvation? So here, when John wrote about Nicodemus, he showed us who Nicodemus was. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. So when we hear about Pharisees as Christians, we often think that they're bad people. Because Jesus often rebuked these people. And these people are hypocrites. But you know that the Pharisees are often better than us? Let's have a quiz. How many of you have read the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi? Not bad. Those who read in English? Those who read in Chinese? How about Hebrew? None of you. The Jews did not read in English. They didn't read in Chinese. But they read in Hebrew. Whenever you encounter the name of God in the Old Testament, would you wash your hands? Did you wash your hands? Did you take a bath? Every time that the Pharisees would encounter the name of God, the moment that they see it, they can't mention it.
用别字来代表。
They used another word to represent it.
看到的时候呢，因停。
And whenever they would see it, they would pause. They would wash their hands. And even the more serious ones would take a bath. And how many baths would they have taken? You know that in Israel, water is scarce. So it's not easy to take many baths in a day. Are we familiar with the Old Testament? You know that the Pharisees memorized the Old Testament. They memorized the Old Testament. We can't even memorize the New Testament ourselves. Even the books of the New Testament. In fact, even pastors can't do it. You remember my story wherein in the seminary we would remember the Chinese names of the Old Testament books. And the fifth book is I don't remember. And even pastors can't even do it. You know that the Pharisees, each word in the Old Testament, they would have to memorize it. The Pharisees would copy the Bible. You know that whenever they would copy, they would count the words in a line. And their whole life's motivation is to live out the Old Testament law. If Jesus did not rebuke them, and if we were to look at the life of the Pharisees, won't we think that they are good people? Let us not think that the Pharisees were a lot during the time of Jesus. Their average number would be around 2,000. Because very few people can become Pharisees. Because their standards are rather high. First would be that you should be able to memorize the Old Testament. So that standard alone is not easy to attain. Not only should they be able to memorize, but they should be educated in it. So you know that the Pharisees are such educated people. Talk about Nicodemus. Nicodemus is so educated. He is a Jewish judge. He's a Pharisee. This is not an ordinary person. Paul was also a Pharisee. Was Paul educated? Paul wrote 13 to 14 New Testament books.
Yale University, in
the library of Yale University, there's a whole section that just contains books that were written about Paul. Do you know how many books are there? 400,000 books about Paul. Just about Paul and what Paul wrote.
So 400,000
books all talk about what the books that Paul wrote in the New Testament. You know that how many books are published that talk about Paul and the epistles that Paul wrote? More or less around 300. Are these people educated? They can't talk enough. He's a Pharisee.
So
based on their nature, we cannot surpass Nicodemus. And also based on his education, we cannot also win over Nicodemus. And when it comes to being holy, we also cannot surpass Nicodemus. So we push him before us to Christ, and he is our representative.
但是主有关看到尼哥底庙，看到保罗，看到咱每一个人，看到咱真正的需要。
But the Lord nonetheless sees the true need of Nicodemus, of Paul, and each of us.
咱需要生命，咱需要顶头先。
We need life. We need the new birth.
因为那无咱无通进入了上帝。
Because without that, we cannot enter the kingdom of God.
你知影，这句话主对尼哥底庙所讲的这句话真正当。
You know that this is such a serious statement, this statement that Jesus gave to Nicodemus. When Brother Anton was reading the passage a while ago, we know that Nicodemus did not understand what Jesus meant. But Nicodemus understood the second part of Jesus' statement. He did not understand what it means to be born again. But he understood what he meant when Jesus said he will not enter the kingdom of God. To say this to a Pharisee, to someone who is serious in the law, is such a grievous statement. Because for their entire lives, they pursue to enter the kingdom of God. Do you remember when John the Baptist was preaching in the New Testament? What did he tell the Pharisees? The kingdom of God is near. Because the hope of the Jews is that the kingdom of God would come. So this statement of Jesus to Nicodemus, who is a holy Pharisee, is such a strong statement. So what lesson can we learn here? So the position and the education of Nicodemus as a Pharisee amounts to nothing before Christ. Because what Jesus wants him to have is new life and not a new religion. Whatever Nicodemus has acquired through the years will not enable him to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus told him to be born again. Being born again is not something that Nicodemus nor you and I can do on our own. Being born again is something that God accomplishes. Because of what Jesus has done for us, that is why you and I can experience the new birth. And this would sometimes allow people to have a hard time believing in Christ. Because people want to strive for something to achieve something. Every religion is like that. We need to do something in order to get something. This is also the system in our society. We have to work in order to get something. It is hard for us to just accept something freely. I was born in a Christian family. My grandmother was a very devout Christian. But when I was young, I have attended so many different churches. My mother belonged to UEC Philippines. But my aunt is the wife of a pastor in a Baptist church. But my dad was not a Christian. When I was young, my mother and my father were not Christians. My mother was a Roman Catholic. In an assembly, my dad would say that he's a Christian. But he never goes to church. So when I was young, I would go with my grandmother to UEC Philippines. Or at times I'd go with my aunt to the Baptist church. So I have two churches. I don't have any loyalties.
But
at times I would share these Sunday school stories to my parents. And my dad has a hard time accepting the messages. You know, it's not bad. He personally is a good guy. I can do anything. And in his mind, to receive salvation so freely is not possible. There's nothing like it in the world. And people will think that there's nothing like it in the world, that you will just receive salvation so freely. And thank God that later my parents became Christians. First was my mom. And when my mom became a Christian, my dad more or less followed suit. It should be my dad actually who first became a Christian. And as they believed in Christ and they served. Later, while I was discussing with my mom, how did you change your mindset from not believing that something can be freely received? And she told me that this is a hard matter to accept. But as they read the scriptures, you know that salvation is not really free. Because people, men, receive salvation freely. But God paid a huge price for our salvation. So from man's viewpoint, we receive salvation freely. That's why it's called salvation, it's called grace. But on God's part, He gave up all that He had so that He would be able to offer salvation to us. But so, brothers and sisters, let us learn this faith lesson. To receive abundant life, eternal life, is not something that you and I can work out. But rather, Christ has already given you new life. Because Christ has given you life, So then you can have faith in Christ. You know how Jesus would view people who are not believers? And the Gospels often record this. These are living people. But Jesus, in using spiritual eyes, considered them to be dead. If you remember the story about the prodigal son, what did this prodigal son do? He went and squandered his father's inheritance. But later, did he come back? He came. The father was waiting for him. You know, when the father ran to meet his son, that's such a big deal. If you know Jewish tradition, fathers don't run. Such a wayward son coming back and you run to meet him. He needs a scolding or a whipping. But this son, when he came back, the father ran to him and kissed him and embraced him and said, he said, "You wayward son, it's good that you know how to come back." Rather, he said, "This son of mine was dead, but now he is alive." This is how God sees us with spiritual eyes. When we come back to God, we are as if coming back from the dead. Do you remember when Jesus addressed the person who was following him? this man told Jesus, "My dad has just passed away. I want to follow you, but my dad just passed away." Can I just attend to the matters of my father's burial? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Do you understand that? Let the dead bury their own dead. Can dead bury dead people? Jesus was actually referring to living people. He was referring to that person who was going to follow him. You're a dead person. You bury your father, who is also a dead person. But you say, "Well, no, this person is alive. He's not dead. He can breathe, he can move." We probably are able to live or move, but in his eyes, we are actually dead. We are hopeless people. And we are people who cannot possibly help ourselves. But the Lord gives us new life. The Lord gives us life. This is the second lesson. In Christ, we have new life and not a new religion. And the third faith lesson is, as we read John chapter 3, let us pay attention. These are words that Jesus told Nicodemus. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. These are the first words that Nicodemus told Jesus when he secretly met with him. Nicodemus affirmed that Jesus is from God. If I were Jesus, thank God I'm not. I would say, "Nicodemus, you are absolutely right. I am from God." I believe you were also to do that. But never will we think of what Jesus would say next. Jesus never said what you said was true. Jesus did not affirm his words. Verse 3 directly says, Jesus told him, "You must be born again, or else you will not see the kingdom of God." What does this tell us? Many people have seen the miracles, the works, and the signs of Jesus, and they believe in Christ. They affirm that Jesus performed these miracles. But just by affirming the miracles does not mean that one believes in Christ. Just affirming the works of Christ does not mean that you have experienced the new birth. The new birth is something that each of us should experience. Think about this. When a dead person has experienced new life, is it a small experience or a big experience? Probably we have not experienced such. But being born again is exactly that. We are dead. God has given us life. Then we are alive. The reason that we have faith is because the life that we have gives us that faith. It's not faith that brings forth life. It's God gives us life first, and therefore we can respond to God in
faith.
So faith is actually a response. It's a response of a person who's alive. Because dead people do not respond. I often would tease with my wife. Because as pastors, we often officiate the memorial services. And as pastors, you would stand beside the coffin. Jesus promised us new life. But not, hopefully, the resurrection won't happen in a funeral service. If you were in my shoes, would you think this way? As you were preaching during the funeral service, the person lying behind you would tap you on the shoulder, and what would you do? What would you do? Would you run? Would you shout? But thank God he's still dead. So he won't tap me on the shoulder. Why not? If you slap a dead person, he won't respond. And even if you mock him and scold him, he also won't respond. Why not? Because he's dead. But the reason that we can respond to God is because God has given us life first. We say that we believe in Christ because in the first place, God has given us new life. He gave us life. So our response is faith.
So,
the new life and faith are not totally different things, but they're the same thing. Life is what is given to us by God. Faith is the response of a life that God has given us. Every Christian has experienced this supernatural life. It is not simply just affirming the works of Christ. And this is a very important point in sharing the gospel. At times when we share the gospel, we say that this is the truth of the Bible. But at times there is no power. You say the Bible says this and this and this. But when you share your experience in life, then it's totally different. You add in your experience after being born again, then it's totally different. Because you have experienced the new life. So brothers and sisters, have you been born again? Have you experienced the new life? It's not simply affirming the works of Christ. Because non-believers can also affirm the works of Christ. But have you personally experienced the salvation, the new birth of Christ? May the Lord help you and me. That we not only experience the life of Christ once, but daily. There's a beautiful story recorded in John chapter 15. You know that the Christians are planted in this vineyard. The vine doesn't have life. But when they are grafted in the vine, then it has life. This is the story of each of us, each Christian. God has saved you and me. He gave us new life. He united us in Christ. So that the Lord is our all in all. So that in Christ we have new life. It's just as once. But in our daily lives we experience that. This new life is not just a daily life, a renewal.
So
may the Lord help us. That we would experience this kind of new life as we walk each day. When Christians experience Jesus as their everything, as their all in all, their life would not be the same. Their perspectives would not be the same. And their spirit would not be the same. We as Christians would often say Jesus is my everything. But at times we just are paying lip service. Truly we have not lived it out. It's not easy to say that the Lord is our everything. These are words that lovers would actually tell each other, especially during courtship.
And
at times when a man would court a woman, he would say that, "You are my everything. You are my life." Is that true? Let me tell you that during courtship, it is true. It is truly correct. Because during courtship, because in a man's thoughts, in whatever he does, it's just that lady. It's no one else. Whenever he would work, he would think of her. In the morning when he wakes up, he would think of her. Before he would sleep at night, he would think of her. And even during the night, he would dream of her. It's all about her. She is the everything of that lover. And she is the life of this lover. I remember a pastor, my good friend, and you know him. Before when we were younger, he was courting. He planned to see this his girlfriend.
So he kept buying
So he bought a bouquet of flowers and Meiji chocolate, which was very expensive. And I still remember that. But that day when he was about to go there, there was a big storm.
And
such as a simple storm, it was a signal number 3 storm. And his girlfriend, the woman that he was courting, was living in this Divisoria. And probably you would know whom I'm referring to. You know that in a storm signal number 3, you cannot pass through Divisoria. But he didn't listen to me. He went there. And I saw the news. And the floodwaters were already waist deep. And in those days, there were no cell phones then. So more or less, you know my age. I don't know how he was able to cope. And at night, when he came back, when I saw him, the waist down, it was black and wet. You know that during a flood in Divisoria, you do not walk alone. There are these 4-legged creatures who would walk and swim with you. You know that from the waist down, he was full of mud. But I didn't ask him a second question. Because when I saw his face, I saw the answer. He was grinning from cheek to cheek. Because the woman is his everything.
无论是红胎，无论是中水，无中水，无论是夹拖马，还是无论是夹蛇、夹螺丝小，未要紧啊。
So it doesn't matter even a storm or no storm or a flood or no flood, or he has to swim with the cockroaches and the rats. Because the woman that he is courting is his everything. But after marriage, it's different. She's just a part of me. But if Jesus is our life, if we say that Jesus is our all, won't we live our lives just like a lover? Whatever we have, our life is given by Him. So what Paul said was true, that we live for Christ. And to die is to gain Him. And why is it so? It's because Jesus is our life. Because Jesus first gave us life. And whatever we do, our faith, our service is just but a response to this new life. You know that the worship service is actually a response of the new life. Worship services are not services of dead people. The worship service is actually a response of living people to God for the new life they receive. So as we worship, may we worship this God who is alive, who has given us new life. And may we be like Paul in that what we live is Christ and to die is gain. And may the Lord once again remind us of the three faith lessons this morning. First is that Jesus is concerned about your salvation and my salvation. Jesus gives you new life and not a new religion. Third is not just to affirm the works of Christ, but to experience the supernatural life that He gives. May the Lord help us. May the Lord give you new life. May you experience and enjoy the new life of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that for us to be born again, it is totally a free gift from you. It is not something that we can earn. It is not something that we can strive for. And thank you, Lord, that you freely give this new birth to people so that we can experience your new life, that we can glorify you, and that we can respond in faith. For those of us who have not experienced this new birth, Lord, may you continue to speak to them, work in their hearts. And for us who have already experienced the new birth, Lord, help us to live it out daily. Help us to cherish our new life in you. Help us to enjoy a deeper and ever closer walk with you each day. All of these things we give you thanks and praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.